Live from the Pathway Studios in Johnston proper, you are Live from the Path.
Call it stopping by. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Into our castle.
You're here. We appreciate you being here.
The Live from the Path castle.
You're listening to Live from the Path on livefromthepath.org. Thanks for listening tonight. We're broadcasting Monday at livefromthepath.org at 10 p.m. We're also broadcasting on 99.3 KTIA on Saturday nights at 7. So make sure you check that out. Listen, if you don't normally catch us on the Monday night show, you really should dig on the podcast, and here's why. There's a couple fantastic things that go on the podcast.
Let's hear it.
You get the extra bonus content, and by bonus content, I mean however the show went, good, bad, or indifferent, it's longer.
We generally fix it in the bonus content.
Yeah, and so all the things that you like or dislike about the show are magically fixed.
It could be a complete fail for the first 50 minutes, and then... When we hit the bonus, it's like, oh, it's bonus.
Right. We try and redeem ourselves in the last 15 minutes of the show.
Yeah, it really is.
And I think it happens. I think it happens. So here's the deal.
I agree.
So when you're geared up to go listen to this podcast, here's what you can expect on Life from the Path this week. We got a slew of things to talk about. One has to do with some things I've been reading in the Bible. Actually, a couple of things that I've been reading through in the Bible. Two, we're going to talk about what you and Miley Cyrus have in common. She's been starting a big uproar here over the last couple of days with some scandalous type dance moves, I guess you could call it. And really, it got me to thinking. I've been watching some of the reaction on the news, some of the comments, some of the reaction on the Facebook, I think you have a lot more in common with Miley Cyrus than you care to admit.
I think that's the scariest thing I've heard all day. The fact that there may be similarities between myself and Miley Cyrus.
I do have a large bear in my room.
I have a large bear backpack.
I was afraid you were going to say you had a nude bikini.
I have a nude bikini. Well, I also have a really crazy, I'm retaliating against my good girl phase haircut.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I have.
Okay, that's overall scary. So so we're going to talk about that. We have a collection of Pope-style advice. Either one or two, we're going to see how it shakes out. The captain, Dan Hudson, is in charge of the Dear Life from the Past tonight.
Yep. So I'm ready.
I'm kind of excited to see how that goes down. So that's what you could expect. It's a mix of pop culture and homegrown wisdom. And neither one are really promising. just for a heads up, you can go ahead and de-escalate your intellectual scale. Mm-hmm. Ben Foost is out on sabbatical, and he's covering some live events for Life from the Path. And hopefully we'll check in with him sooner or later. But for now, for you intellectual / apologetic type folks, or people that like to be really hit with decent logic or points, not the show for you today.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah, not to.
Yeah, you're not here to get your weekly advice from
the
people that are
going to
give you sound advice. You're here to get the stuff that's like, I don't know if I'm ever going to use that, but that's his opinion.
Yeah,
kind of
thanks
advice.
For playing.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's the deal. Here's what I've noticed about the way that I think Jesus works people sometimes, and I like to call it the Jesus funnel. And it's because I think what Jesus does is certain people are the end of the funnel where all the business happens, mm-hmm. and other people are just the big round part that you like to watch the penny go round and round
right.
and round. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's us. See, what we do is we say wrong things or things that are not really making any sense, and then it slowly gets down to where Ben just tells you how it's really,
right.
it's going to be. You know, and so expect a lot of penny spinning and not a lot of dropping in the hole.
Nope.
Not much of that. Okay. So here's what we're going to talk about today. The first thing we're going to hit is, so listen here, Miley Cyrus has done... Man. A performance on the MTV Video Music Awards. Now, I don't know if you've... I used to watch this particular program back when I was, probably still in high school. And it was pretty cool. It was like the pinnacle of musical arts. They'd get everybody that was in the top 10 that year, and they'd play a live performance. And it was pretty sweet. Got to watch it on TV. And
I didn't know they did videos on MTV anymore.
No, they don't.
I mean, I haven't watched it ever, really. I watched it for like 6 months in the 80s.
Yeah,
and then I thought, this isn't really for me.
Well, back in the day, it was all right. It wasn't overtly.
It was music.
You know, it was tunes, you know, and I love tunes, and so it was fine.
So it's got to be a pretty short award show if they don't really
What do you mean?
Well, aren't they giving awards to the videos? But they don't really play videos, so...
I'm sorry. Did you want to take some time out to make fun of MTV? Or
no, I wouldn't do that. I would never do that.
Okay. We'll see if we can get this thing back on task.
So the VMAs, Miley Cyrus did something.
So there's live performances at the Video Music Awards, and it's always a big deal. And it seems like every year, I have not consistently watched it in the last 10 years. Like, I don't even think that I've seen it. But from what I've read, it tends to get just a little bit more out of hand every year. Somebody will show up with some kind of outrageous costume or showing more than they should, or someone will be dressed in some kind of blood outfit for some kind of stance, or people are stealing microphones from other people. And it's kind of turned into a little bit of a pop culture melee. And so I was reading through my Facebook today. It seemed like it was post after post that, like, Miley Cyrus did this and it was disgusting, and she did some kind of weird dance, and I checked it out on CNN because I thought they'd filter it. If it was too raunchy, they'd filter it, and then I wouldn't have to be worried about what I was watching. But it was raunchy enough. It was enough.
Yes, it was.
It was actions that you would expect to see in the privacy of someone's home that you should not be privy to, except they were just clothed. And so that's kind of what went down. And so, I was reading the reviews, and people were like, I can't believe what's happened to this girl. I can't believe the situation. She shouldn't be dancing like that. Everyone's outraged or whatever. And I thought, you know, here's the thing that's kind of – it started bothering me a little bit because this even happened on some of the Christian blogs that I was reading. And it started to bother me a little bit, but, like, I feel like most of the people that are doing the barking, they're Miley Cyrus. They're just not on TV. You know what I'm saying? Like what she purveyed that everyone seems to be disgusted with is the same thing, is basically the embodiment of their sin, except for on TV in front of public display. So, I don't know. I just started to think about it a little bit. Like, it's pretty easy to sit in your armchair and point fingers about people that have fallen away from the Lord, because, frankly, take the black and white. That's what it is. That's all it is. Like, there's not levels of subculture debauchery. It's just following Jesus or not. Yeah. And so, like, it was pretty much the embodiment of someone who needs to know Jesus Christ, right? And so I like to act like I'm not Miley Cyrus, but I am. You know what I'm saying? And all the things, I mean, how do you think the Lord views my sin, right? He views my sin as twerking on the VMA Awards. That's how he sees it. He looks at it with his mouth agape and thinks, I wish you wouldn't do this to yourself. I have better plans for you. I just wish this wasn't happening. And so, I don't know, I just seemed, it seemed, I get the outrage, right? But, like, it's hard to stand on moral principles when you don't have any to begin with, right?
Yeah. Honestly, I'm not shocked, I'm not surprised. Nothing about it was, like, totally, it is exactly what I told my children was going to happen years ago when they started watching in any of the shows, all these, the Hollywood scene. It is, all those kids, they tend to get up and then they get caught up into that Hollywood thing. And it's all about selling tickets and doing their next CD everybody's talking about it. That's all they care about. That's the point. Even right now, we're talking about it. And that's what they want. They want to hear their name. Not that they're going to hear it, but you know what I'm saying. We're talking about, she's showing up on Facebook and on the Twitter and here and there, and it's good for their career. And that's why they do this stuff. I mean, and it's all part of, Hollywood celebrates the sinful nature. That's what sells, you know. And you're right. It's all of us. It only sells because we buy it. I mean, they're not forcing anything on us.
Well, that's the thing. And like the whole thing kind of actually made me sad, which is a different point that I'd have taken 5 years ago. Like the Lord's brought about a certain change in my heart that, like, 5 years ago I'd have been like, eh, it's all right, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, every man that I talked to at work that was talking about it today, they're like, did you see it? It was pretty awesome. And every lady's like, it was pretty disgusting and unnecessary. I don't know why she's, you know what I'm saying? And I'm like, really, the whole thing just kind of made me sad?
Yeah.
You know, and especially, of course, this is my general bent, but, like, I have a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old daughter. When my 3-year-old wears a dress and she decides she's going to start doing some kind of somersault in the lawn, I'm the first guy to go, whoa, 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 you got a dress on, sweetie. You got to cover that. It's a dress. It's a dress. We got to learn how to do it and sit in a dress, and we'll figure it out, but you just got to watch what you're doing, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And
teach them how to be a woman.
And her dad, I don't know what happened. here's the thing. Like I think what happens is girls get to a certain age, and dads will throw up their arms and go, "What do you want me to do? She's an adult. You could start by being her father. I don't care if you got to lock her in a room. Her in a room. That's terrible. Was there not one man? And don't take this just the men, but like, was there not one person that saw? Because here's what people do. People will write this on the reports and on YouTube and send her hate mail and say, "I can't believe you did this, and I can't believe this was the decision you made." There's a guy running the camera. There's the guy that wrote the choreography. There's the costume designer that decided it was going to be appropriate. There's the producer that thought, "Heck yeah, this is going to sell great." There's 30 people involved that gave this the thumbs up, and not one person said, "You know, maybe it's exploitation."
Because they don't care. They did. The whole thing, it's exploitation.
The concept of pop culture and the way that it's turning, it's shock. Yeah. That's exactly what it's to be. It is supposed to be shock.
They're all making money off of it.
Right. We've seen it all throughout pop culture, all throughout the ages. It has turned from, you know, this thing is culturally acceptable. Let's push those boundaries. And then that becomes culturally acceptable. And then the next person comes around. Let's push those boundaries. And it's funny and it's sad also how pop culture has become a moral compass. And I mean that as do the exact opposite of what's happening on TV. And that's a good chance that you're in a right direction.
Yeah.
And that's how it's turned, and it's sad. It's pushing away from, you have the Christian culture and the way that God wants us to be, and the way that pop culture and mediocrity is pushing completely away from this. And we have complacent Christians that are watching this and just saying, "Oh, you know, that's so terrible," and then allow it to happen in their homes. And people think that Miley Cyrus doing this is the biggest deal on the planet. I challenge you to go into one public high school in the United States and find no students dressing like that. And find no students acting like that.
Or go to a high school dance.
Right, and then see
my
that
happening.
My understanding
is that'd be quite shocking.
Right, exactly. You go to a high school dance nowadays, you see the kind of stuff that's happening. You know, that's not so shocking anymore when you see a character like Miley Cyrus doing this to
what's happening.
And in my opinion, I might be completely wrong, but in my opinion, it seems like here's yet another teen idol that did the whole, and I'm not going to throw out any specific genres or anything like that, but the whole teen idol girl persona for years, and now seems like they just need to do the craziest and wildest things to get away from that persona.
Yeah,
and
they feel like star now.
Right, I want to. You know, you've seen it in multiple pop teen idols in the last 15 years. You know, Britney Spears had her falling out, and I'm just going to call it a couple names. Christina Aguilera had her falling out. All this different stuff. Lizzie McGuire, Lindsay Lohan, or not Hillary Duff, excuse me, Lindsay Lohan. They've all, and it happens in the men too. They break out of this teeny bopper phase, just running, and they hit the ground running, and it turns into this. And then this will become socially acceptable. In a year, we'll be looking at this thinking, "Huh, that wasn't that bad. Look at what happened this year."
Yeah, yeah.
And that's sad.
I guess the whole thing just kind of makes me sad. One, the reaction, they act like most of the comments I see, they act like they keep morality in their pocket, and then they like to play that card when someone else acts out outrageous. And here's the thing, like, my sin is not as obvious as hers, right? But it's just as existent.
Right.
Right? You know, and so here's what I'm not saying. I'm not saying you don't get to call her out on it. I'm not saying you don't call sin sin. I'm not saying that you know, you degrade what she did and say it's not that big of a deal, because it is a big deal, right? But, like, what I see is self-righteousness. And I tell you what, you read that Bible in its entirety, and God has it's the number one. It's pride. It's self-righteousness. And he says, that's the one thing I can't work with. Like, I can't work with you if you're not willing to work with me. And that's basically it. He's not going to drag you kicking and screaming into submission. He says, here's the deal. Here's what I've done. I've done all the hard work. All you got to do is stick your hand out.
Right.
And say, okay, I'm in. But he can't do that with self-righteousness, right? And, like, that is most of what I've seen. I saw actually a guy that we've had on this program before on my Facebook page. And I'm like, I'm growing to love this man. And he's like, what are all these reactions about? Have any of you been praying for this young lady? Did any of you start yesterday while you were railing against her? Did anyone just start? Even let's say that she was not on the forefront of your mind, and then this comes up. Did you start yesterday praying for her? Probably not. No, you didn't, because you were outraged, and she's terrible, and blah, blah, blah. Boy, did you miss the boat. You know, boy, did you miss God's heart in this thing.
Right.
You know, instead of sitting down and going, God, I'm sorry, I've seen, you know, your daughter's fallen astray, and I don't know what it's going to take, but I know your hand can do it, and I doubt I'm involved, but if I'm involved, put me on a train, and I'm going. Whatever, right. I'm in, you know? And but that's not what you saw.
Right.
And so it's just, and you didn't see that on me either. It's not like I sat down and prayed for last night. And, I, you know, maybe it's just one of those things that God uses to convict people, but instead of maybe standing on your moral high horse and saying how bad she is, she's really just a representation of what we've allowed this to become. And the thing that surprises me is that people are like, I can't believe this happened. And but it's the whole culture already, right? It's like going
it shows the ignorance. Right. If you can't believe it, your eyes are closed.
Yeah,
right, exactly.
Your head's in the sand.
If this is something that's shocking, that you're like, oh wow, I can't believe this ended up on TV.
It's
where
like
have
going,
you been for the past?
It's
30
like going
years?
To Wendy's and getting a hamburger. Going, what is this?
Wait a minute.
French fries?
This is outrageous.
The sad thing also, we can take it from, you know, this is national spotlight. This is something that has hit the waves and everyone's freaking out about it. But even, you know, to talk more to Mike's point of we point out the problems in someone else's life. We point out that she's, you know, degrading herself and degrading, you know, her fans and all this, whatever it is. And we pointed out, but we're not praying about it. We're not breaking down, you know, going to God about this kind of stuff. We can take that in our daily lives too. Every time, even if it's not in a national spotlight, every time you point out something to somebody, when was the last time that you started realizing something and you didn't like what they did? You stopped yourself and you started praying about it instead of just going, oh my gosh, I can't believe they just did that. Breaking yourself down to, you know, God, take that. To help this person, be with this person, help me to be a light in their world, put me in the way that you want me to be, and if it's not me, put the person who you want there. Mm-hmm. And how often do we really do that in our personal lives, not just in a national spotlight? And I bet there's a lot of people that would be surprised if they really started thinking about it.
People you work with, people in the neighborhood.
Exactly.
You know how silly and inconsequential this story is, though? I mean, really.
In the grand scheme of things?
There's a brothel in my city somewhere.
Right, exactly.
There's four strip clubs within 3 miles of this broadcast center. You know what I'm saying?
It's the national spotlight.
And we're like, it's a 20-year-old girl half naked on TV.
But this is why so many people have reacted, I think, so strongly. Nobody cares about Miley Cyrus. I mean, they're not. I mean, they could give a rip what she's doing. We don't care what she did 2 weeks ago because it wasn't in front of our face, right?
Yeah.
But my children grew up appreciating her, looking up to her. Right. That was their favorite star. That was their program. It's an attack against my children. That's how a lot of people have viewed this. And that's where it's surprising. How could you not know that was coming?
It might be an attack against your parenting.
Exactly. That's what I would
say. Now here's the thing.
My children see that they're just fine. They learned at a young age to expect it.
Yeah.
Guess what? This is the scene they're in. This is the culture they're a part of. There's going to be a certain age. Right now they're talking all moral and clean and they wear nice clothes. And they want to have, you know, great standards. But in about X number of years, you're going to see them make a complete turn. You're going to read newspaper articles about them. And there's going to be, you know, videos and news broadcasts about them that's going to surprise you. And I just told them that when very, very young. They just knew it. And they look at me like, Dad, you're just silly.
Right. You're just an old curmudgeon, Dad.
And, I didn't really, like, you know, pound it on them. But I planted that seed. You know, every once in a while, I'd bring it back up once every few months. And, like, Mary-Kate and Ashley imploded, and Danielle was like, well, what do you expect? You
know, monumental shift in character happens. It happens every single day.
Well, and here's the thing. Like, I mean, we've created some of this to a point, like, it is impossible to live under a microscope like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, because after a while, you're just playing the part of yourself. You know?
Yeah.
Like, you're an actor in your own life. You're playing the part of yourself to an attempt to, you know, to make waves, really, because you can't handle it on your own. And so, you know, I mean, I just feel, I don't know, I oddly enough feel sad for them. And I never used to feel that way. You know, I mean, I'm not going to lie and say that I've never been a little celebrity struck. Like, I'd always think that me and so could just be the best of friends. You know, back at the end of the day, I'm pretty sure that me and Brad Pitt could high five and probably play basketball.
Never happened.
Here's the truth of it. We don't have anything in common. Absolutely nothing.
I think part of you should be happy about that.
I'm not saying it's a good or bad thing. I'm just saying you sooner or later you come to the realistic that that's not him. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You ever watch like a series of movies and then they play a different character somewhere and you're like,
who's this?
Who is that guy?
That's not that person.
Why is Marty McFly acting so weird?
I know Marty and that's no Marty.
That's not Marty.
That is not Marty at all. And so I think it's more one of those things, but like, I don't know. I mean, the whole thing, like I said, it's just a little saddening, and I didn't have the right reaction either. I wasn't like appalled by it, but I'm like, how sad. And of course, I was mad at her dad because that's just what I do. But you know, but I
was going to say that's the character that you play, Mike. You're
here's the thing.
The Warhammer on the dad guy. That's what you are.
I'm pretty consistent about that, regardless of the audience. I know that stuff I just got done yelling at people at my work.
Random guy at work, Warhammer.
I don't
celebrity Warhammer.
Here's what I think. I think if you've made the mistake of representing that you're a father. And you've done it poorly in my presence.
Yeah, you do it in front of Mike Foost.
It's time for what the Bible says is a biblical man talk.
You know, that's just the best talk in the world, isn't it? It's like, hey, you know how you think you're a man? Guess what? You're not.
Everybody loves it. Everybody feels great after it. Everybody loves it.
I've gotten it personally. I will tell you, it is not a fun conversation to have. When Mike Foost comes in your face and says, guess what you have to role model yourself for Jesus? And are you being Jesus right now? You're sure not. You're a joke. Have a great day.
Here's how you don't make friends. here's the deal. Because now we've been on this topic for months. And here's the thing. I decided that I was done not making disciples. That's what I decided. Like, here's the line. Here's what we're going to talk about. And I'm done sugarcoating it. And so if that Jesus can cracks even just a fizz, I'm in. And I'm in hard. And we're going to start talking about it. And here's the thing, though. Once you draw that line, at least people know where to come back to.
That's
true. They can hate you right that moment, and that's fine. I mean, I just don't care anymore, and it's nice. It's really very freeing not to have to worry that people are like, he's a hardcore Jesus man, blah, blah, blah. Great.
Yeah, that's what I'm going for. Thanks for noticing.
I feel like this has really gone well.
Oh, you think so, do you?
Yeah. So anyway, here's the deal. I mean, here's the long and short of it. Pray for people. Get off your self-righteous donkey, and you just start pray for people. And if you're one of those folks that does a lot of praying for people, I love you. I appreciate what you're doing for Jesus Christ. Now it's time for you to start talking to folks. The praying is going well. The Holy Spirit can do its job. The Holy Spirit does not need you to prop him up with your prayer. It helps that you talk to him and have a relationship with him, but he's willing to work, but he wants you to move. And you know what? And actually, this next thing we're going to talk about is going to tie right into that. If you look at, I was reading through my Bible earlier this week, and we're going through the book of Luke. And we do our LTG where we do read like, I don't know, 20, 30 chapters or whatever. And I decided I was going to move my LTG reading to, I'm going to read the book of Luke every week for, it's probably going to be 6 or 8 months. I'm just going to read through it because we're going through it with the youth group. And I thought, you know, I've read the Bible through, you know, and I'm getting well where I kind of get the whole picture, but it's time to take a small bite and chew on it for a while. And so I'm going to read through it. I'm hoping going through once a week for every week. So I'm hauling through it again. And I was reading this part in Luke today, and it just kind of it hit me a little bit, and I'll tell you why. So we're going to start in Luke. What are we in? It was Luke 19, chapter 28. This is just as Jesus is just about to head into Jerusalem, where they're eventually going to crucify him. So starts in verse 28. It says, "And when he had said these things, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he drew near to Bethpage and Bethany, at the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of the disciples, saying, 'Go into the village in front of you, where on entering you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever yet sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? You shall say this, the Lord has need of it.' So those who were its owner said to them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' And they said, 'The Lord has need of it.' And they brought it to Jesus, and throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it." So this is basically, there's a couple reasons why this is going down, just for a little bit of backstory, but like, Jesus is riding into town on a colt to fulfill prophecy that was said about him. So that's kind of one of the things that's happening here. Jesus can really get around on his own 2 feet. It's really not a concern of how he travels, but like, this was part of the prophecy. And boy, I want to say Micah, but I don't know the exact verse right off the top of my head. But in either case, the prophecy in the Old Testament is that the Savior would come riding a donkey. And the vision here was like a conquering king comes in on a horse. And actually, you'll see a reflection of that Jesus in Revelation. When Jesus comes back, he's on Faithful and True? It's written on the side of the horse?
Yeah.
It's a horse. He comes back as a conquering king on a horse, but Jesus was coming into town. Kind of the imagery here as a servant on a colt, and it was also because it was prophesied that he would do that. So that's some of the reason why this is happening. But here's the thing that I found. There's two things I found kind of amazing here. Is one, God always does things with a double-edged sword, right? He always does. It's always a two for one. It's never a one thing. It's always two for one because he could have done this a million ways. He could have made a donkey out of a twig and some spit if he wanted to.
Right, right.
Right? But he used his people to provide it. The prophecy had to be fulfilled. It was going to go down, and he knew it had to go down, and it went down like this. And he, like I said, he could have done this a million ways. There could have been a wild donkey just running around, and Jesus put the grab on it. But he used his people to provide it. He does that in all of his creation, including to this day. And you see people who put up a, like we usually, when we talk about the tithe, we're always like, God really doesn't need your money. He has all the money in the world. Ah, but he likes you to provide it. He likes to use his people to do his works. Because it's a double-edged sword, he does everything for his glory and your joy. And it's always that. It's never just one. It's always his glory and your joy because, frankly, his glory brings you joy. That's the way he set the world up. And so I was reading this thing, and I thought a couple of things I thought was funny is if you take this into modern day times, that Jesus is, say, a town and a half over from Barrie, and he says, we're going to go into the town. We need a Buick. And he says, here's what you boys are going to do. I want you to walk two towns over. I want you to go to Barrie's house. And you get in the Buick, and you start the Buick.
The keys will be in there.
And then you take it. And when Barrie comes out, it says, hey, that's my Buick. You stick your head out the window and say, the Lord has need of this. And Barrie will agree. And then you will leave with his Buick. And I thought, you know, as preposterous as that sounds, I would never allow that.
Yeah.
And I thought even on a different level, like when we get together as a church and we're like we want to help somebody that's disadvantaged or someone who's become homeless or they lost their job or they've had a death in the family, let's all get together. And so I have two cars and I have a family and they say someone comes over and says, look, so and so needs a car, the Lord has need of this. And I would fold my arms and say, no, he doesn't. No, not my car. Definitely not.
Let him come and ask by himself.
Yeah, bring yourself on over. You know, and I thought it kind of falls along the same lines as we were talking last week about if you really want to engage yourself in a community that you would accept a rebuke from anyone in your church community. Now, does that hold the same water with the people who are asking for things? Like if Troy came to me and said, Mike, the Lord has need of this. Of one of my things, would I believe him?
Right.
Would I believe that the Lord really has need of that, or he's just stealing from me?
The Lord's big enough; he could tell me himself.
I,
that's what I think.
Just as a rule of thumb, I don't think you should believe me on that. Just throwing that one out there.
Here's the truth, though: is like maybe the Lord does have need of it.
Right.
What if you're honestly praying and you're like, "Hey, we need this. Mike's got one. The Lord says go get it," and you show up and like, I guess that's part of the whole community thing that I was thinking about is like. I can maybe think of one person in my entire church body that if they honestly came to my house and said, the Lord has need of this, and they didn't laugh or smile, I would probably give it to them because they're just one of those kind of people. And I'd be like, okay.
I believe you.
I really do. Everybody else, not a chance.
Yeah.
Not a chance.
I know I'm not that one person.
And I thought, man, it's not that I don't believe the Lord would want me to give stuff to people, but... I mean, I don't find anybody in my church family trustworthy. Is
right,
that
exactly.
The deal?
I was going to say
that. I feel like it is kind
of the
deal.
That's the flip coin of it. I don't think in a lot of people, and I'd be surprised to hear what people's answers to that would be. You know, in general, talking to a group of people, you know, what would your answer be if someone from your church family came to you and said, hey, you know, the Lord has need of this? I would be surprised to hear anybody saying, oh, yeah, I'll give it up. Because either, so you got two sides there. You've got the whole, you know, I trust in the Lord. I believe the Lord wholeheartedly has a plan, and I'm going to follow that plan. I'm not going to get in the way. I'm a tool for him, not against him. Mm-hmm. But then you've got the flip side of people that the flip of that coin is, man, can I really trust this person to be telling me that the Lord has need of it? And I can trust them to not just be pulling my chain and getting something from me.
Yeah, yeah.
That would be my point of no return. It'd be basically I'd have to choose between God could definitely have a hand in this. There's no doubt about that in my mind whatsoever. God could be in control of this. He is. He knows everything. He's got it all under control. And it's all in his hands. But I know this person, and there's a, you never know. They could just be pulling me and trying to get something from
He's
me.
He's been eyeballing my Buick for
right,
a long time.
Right, exactly. This is an 81 Century. I'm not just giving this away to nobody. You know,
this is special.
Of course the Lord wants use of it.
It's great.
Who wouldn't?
And that's,
I have excellent taste in Buicks.
Well, and that brings up a good point. Like, how much faith did it take for those people that the owners of the Colt? And you don't hear, I mean, I'm not sure if there was any further conversation that, that God didn't feel like it was necessary to put in his book, but they were just like, were they immediately, oh, yeah, go ahead. Or, well, who's this Lord that you speak of?
I hear what you're saying about the Lord and all.
The Lord has need of it.
Because
do we have the same Lord?
It's, yeah. Like, it's not like they had Buicks, you know what I'm saying? Like, right. The Colt was the way they got around.
Right, there was just one Colt.
And I see, the whole thing is suspicious to me because I would, if someone was stealing my Colt, I would say, but you walked here to pick it up. That means
the Lord of the universe.
You could get around, you know? Like, it's not like you were so far away that it's not within walking distance
exactly.
Because you walked here.
Can you imagine that conversation afterwards? Yeah, you know, the Lord, he's the one who rules the universe. He created you. He created everything. He created the Colt. You're the owner of the Colt. Well, why doesn't he just create a Colt for himself then? Because I've already got this Colt, and I'm actually using this Colt right now.
Yeah.
And it would be great if the Lord could just make another Colt instead of taking mine.
See, now, doesn't that parallel to your own life, though? Like, you're talking to somebody about Jesus, and they bring something up like that, and you're like, listen, dude. The Lord said he wants the Colt.
The Lord says he wants the Colt. You get it.
I don't know what else to say to you. Okay, the Bible is true. Christ is Lord. Give me the Colt. We're done here.
Well, on the flip side of that, can you imagine being the guys that were sent by Jesus to go up and get the Colt?
That's
and
what
they
I thought
didn't
about.
This is awkward.
Get the Colt?
Yeah.
They come back empty-handed?
I gave you one job.
Jesus is like, I asked you for the Colt. I gave you the words to say to them. The Lord has needed us.
I gave you the whole thing.
Where did we get lost in translation here? Well, Jesus, we told him the Lord has need of this, and then they asked us, what Lord? And then we got super confused, and that's why we're back here.
And then,
can you tell us what to say to them in this case?
We tried to rain down thunder, and that didn't work.
You remember Elijah? We tried to do that thing. It did not work at all.
Yeah, I don't... I find it interesting on all counts because I thought, you know, there could be a couple fellas that are like, oh, absolutely, I would do that, Jesus, absolutely. If anyone came to ask me and said the Lord has needed this, I would give it away. And then I think to myself, oh, really? Because he's been pretty clear about the tithe. And if you and if you follow most of the statistics today, you're under 3%, brother, or part of the 50% with nothing. So I feel like you can't really be standing on your self-righteous haunches and be like, I would do whatever the Lord asked me to do. Oh, except for tithe or help people.
Exactly.
Those two things, I'm not available.
Yeah, it comes down to, is it 10% before or after taxes? I haven't decided yet.
I'm not going to do either, but I want to have the conversation.
Exactly. I'm going to make it seem like I'm really putting the think on this whole tithe thing. And I'm going to talk to the pastor about if it's okay if I give my first portion to the government and then to God. Or I don't know what's supposed to be like that.
He says give to Caesar what is Caesar's.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
Wait. Caesar wants me to have
I love the Caesar dressing.
Yeah. See, Caesar isn't really around anymore, but it's got the president's face in the dollar bill. Like, that's theirs, right?
Actually, the thing that was convicting for me is what it basically boiled down to is which one's my proverbial donkey? You know what I'm saying? Like, if Lord wanted need of it, what wouldn't I give him? And, you know, I got a pretty strong list going of things that I won't hand over. I feel like I'm generous to Jesus. foolishly. Oh, but Lord, I give you so much time.
Exactly.
I read your word that is really beneficial to me, but I feel like it's more beneficial to you that I'm doing it.
Right.
It's got to be worth something.
Yeah.
Sorry, did you say die to myself daily? Like, what's that?
Yeah.
I don't think I can give that much.
Sometimes I watch Jesus TV. It's terrible, but I suffer through it.
I watch this sweet Live from the Path radio show every week. Does that count?
You know,
I was
a little bit convicted this week because I was thinking about the radio show, and I thought, you know, I really enjoy it. I think we tackle some topics that I really like to talk about that otherwise, amongst certain Christian circles, I'd feel like a fool talking about. Because either they think it's juvenile or it's below them. And really, it's the hermeneutics, it's the arithmetic of getting, on your relationship with Christ. Is that there's things you just have to walk through, and there's going to be dumb questions, and there's going to be silly situations, and it's easier to walk through and being honest than it is to get lost in the crowd. And so I feel like we do, that's kind of what we do here. And I thought, you know, I almost considered that maybe we should take some kind of sabbatical, and but we keep showing up on Monday night and figuring out how we can actually be hands and feet, you know, take the hour. Because here's the deal. If we didn't have the radio show here at 10 o'clock on Monday, I wouldn't come out here. I don't care what meeting you were scheduling.
What?
I don't care what charitable thing you want to do. I wouldn't go. Like, I'd be like, that's too late. I got to put the girls to bed. There's no way I'm showing up for that, right? You tell me it's going to be a pompous radio show where I can talk all I want. Here I am. You know what I'm saying? Ready to run.
Wait, I get to stand on a soapbox and talk?
Yes.
I'm there.
And judge others? Please. Give me the microphone.
How can I tell you how to live? Come on in.
But like, I just thought about it. Like, if I put as much work and preparation into, you know, setting up, you know, actually doing some hands and feet stuff for the kingdom of God than here, I don't know, maybe I'd get some more stuff done. But, I mean, it's not like I don't think the show has inherent value to it, but I feel like maybe, I don't know. I was just thinking about it earlier this week. What are your thoughts, Phil? Hands and feet.
I agree, and sorry, I think that that the show is definitely something that's helped me. If not, you know, to be 100% honest, when it comes down to it, if we've honestly helped people in the last couple of years, if there's somebody that feels like they've been they've had their walk with Christ strengthened through the conversations that they've heard through here and the conversations we've had with them on the chat or anything like that, you know, if that were the situation, yeah, awesome. But when it boils down to it, it's also for me. You know, I like being on the show and getting to talk with you guys and getting to dish out some advice and getting to stand on my soapbox. But this is fellowship for me with you guys and fellowship with the chat whenever I do the chat and stuff like that. And, you know, I try and do hands and feet stuff during the week, and I can't say that I'm good at it. I'll never tell you that I am. You know, even if I get better at it, I'll probably tell you how I could do better and how I could do better. That's part of being a Christ follower. You know, I definitely think that there's some stuff that we could take away from the show and push even further with some hands and feet stuff. Absolutely. I know that we have our shows that we do, you know, once a year, and then we did the Christmas thing last year, which was really cool.
That was fun. Yeah.
And we did some stuff, you know, on site with different bands, and we did we've gone to the Spirit Midwest Festival, and we've had conversations there. But, you know, if you ever were to ask me, is there more we could do hands and feet-wise, there's never a day that I'll tell you no.
Yeah, good solid point.
You know, I would love to do someday, and there's so much that keeps it from doing it, like, for example, sponsors and you know, we're not really professionals and all that kind of stuff. The fact that we're
good points, Dan.
We're in a closet. And a But wouldn't it be cool to have the this type of setting within the Christian community? So it really, you know, it could go as wide as you want because it's on the internet, you know, and we get some local radio too. But wouldn't it be cool to have a spot every single day where we had a couple hours, we sat down, you know, and the people do it in the secular radio and they talk about, you know, goofy stuff. And we talk about goofy stuff, but wouldn't it be good to have a setting where we could talk about Jesus stuff continually and had. We have chat and everything, but to be able to have a more, you know, some more tools, you know, the yeah. call-in stuff, yeah. and people could actually have conversations with a phone in and that kind of stuff. And I always thought that'd be kind of
I think it would almost be beneficial, right? Because,
yeah.
like, I was talking to some fellas about Jesus this week, and you know, I didn't realize how much that generally when we preach the gospel, we totally skip the milk and we go right for steak and, like, try to throw yeah. this heavy stuff at them and... Like, most people open up with why they don't think Joel Osteen's all right. You know, like, that's their missionary tactic. No, you shouldn't be listening to that crap. Here's why.
Have you ever seen his hair?
Yeah. I'm like, you know, maybe we could start with the love of Christ first and maybe skip the prosperity gospel conversation for a little while.
Build on the whole, hey, Jesus loves you. Well, you know, you heard that story when you were a kid.
You're a load of crap and you're full of sin. Yes. Now See, Jesus
Mike
loves
and,
you.
Mike and I start with the whole, hey, did you That's know that you're a joke of a man?
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's yeah. How, yeah.
You call yourself a man. Guess what? You haven't earned that title yet, buddy. That's Mike and I starting
there
on
you
it.
Go.
You know, but some of that nuts and bolts thing is... That's helpful, right? That's extremely helpful.
Cause, yeah.
I mean, people will get the broad concept. They're like, you know, like I said, I was talking to a guy there this week, and like, I was talking to him about how his relationship with Christ was going, if he was going to a small group or whatever, and he's like, you know, to be honest with you, I just don't know what to do. I don't know what to do, you know? He's like, I want to change, or you know, and I'm like, well, and see, this is where you get in this heavy theological crap. I'm like, look, Jesus will make the changes, okay. So what do I do again?
You need to read
get to know Jesus.
Yeah, you need to get to know Jesus.
Read his book.
Let Jesus do the change.
Through the getting to know Jesus, guess what? Jesus is going to change your heart is what's going to happen, and then you're going to push yourself away from all the crap you've been
living. See, now this, that's the thing, and this is where I've started to catch myself. And like we talked about this a couple weeks ago about when you're about getting out and talking to people about Christ, you're going to sound like a fool for a while until you stop, right? And you'll start to listen to the platitudes that come out of your mouth. You'll listen to the church phrases that come out of your mouth, and you'll see it in their eyes that doesn't play here. You know what I'm saying? You can't just come in here and say for the glory of the hope that I was made in, and they're like,
What?
What do you mean?
Glory when did you stop speaking English?
What's wrong with you?
It's like, I was sewn together in the womb. What are you talking
son
about?
Son of man, that doesn't make any sense.
So my son? Is that what you're talking
about? Why would he ride a donkey? Just confused. Yeah. You know?
And why didn't these guys just get yelled at or something? They just stole a donkey from somebody.
Can you imagine those two fellas on the walk to the guy's house?
Look, right. Are they rehearsing it?
We've been following Jesus for a while. I feel like this is ridiculous. I mean, he walks on water. Can't he just cloud him his way over there?
Do you have to choose the donkey? And are we the ones that have to steal it from somebody, basically?
I would be the meek one, like knocking on the door. Hello, anybody home?
Can you imagine one of them knocking and then the other one running? Like,
Jeez, get back here. Jeez, I'm not doing this by myself.
Serious.
Jesus
said
do this
for a reason.
But there's a good chance that Judas might have prearranged this. He was the treasurer.
That he'd have set up the donkey?
Yeah, so some people believe that.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't see any.
That's what they were expecting.
That ruins our fun.
Oh, you're with the Lord. Yeah, go ahead.
I don't see any biblical basis.
It doesn't say it. But I'm just saying this.
I like to think that two dudes were walking along the road to Jerusalem thinking, okay, so are you going to say this is for the Lord, or the Lord's has into this? Or
I'll talk.
So you untie the donkey, and I'll be standing by watching for people watching us, and if somebody looks conspicuously at us, I'm just going to say, it's for the Lord. And this one. But you got to untie the whole time because I don't want to have to say that 50 times.
Don't leave me hanging. Yeah. Seriously.
Don't walk away with the donkey. Leave me there. I got to know what's going on.
I'm
going
to go get a Coke. Be right back. Dang it, James.
Seriously.
Every time we do something.
Jesus gave us specifics.
We go to the well. You're like, I'll go get the sandwiches. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, sandwich, Joe. Come on.
Okay, anyway. You're listening live from the Path on livefromthepath.org. We are broadcasting kind of live. On Monday nights, sometimes, here's the deal, Jesus loves you, and the show, he may or not be fond of, I'm not sure, we're having technical difficulties, so, but you can catch the rebroadcast of the show on 99.3 KTIA at 7 o'clock on Saturdays, you can also pick it up on the podcast, the show is brought to you by a couple great sponsors, actually the first one is Bob Eisenlauer with the Eisenlauer team, he sells real estate. I don't know that he deals in donkeys or tomfoolery. He's just a real estate man. So that's good. You don't want a man that has divided time. You know what I'm saying? That's all he does is houses. And frankly, I've used him. Ben's used him. He's excellent. He's a great guy. We've had him on the show. So make sure you go check out Bob Eisenlauer. We're also brought to you by the Westfield Veterinary Clinic, where they can cover all your dog, cat, bird. If you like to keep cockroaches, I don't know that they're against it. I feel like the vaccine for a cockroach is almost pointless. I've heard they survive anything.
Yeah, right. I think you're right.
So, but I mean, I'm sure they'd sell it to you if that's what you do.
Yeah.
So go to make sure you check out Westfield Veterinary in Johnson, Iowa. Both are excellent friends of the show, and we appreciate their giving us some time and their talents. So let's see. I believe that we got Troy. Did you say you might have some Pope style advice?
Yeah, I think I got some Pope style advice. I've been thinking, if I said this already, Mike and I talked about this for a second. On there's a chance this is recycled Pope style advice, but that doesn't make it any less important here.
That is true.
So if anybody doesn't know, the premise of the Pope style advice is, let's say I walk out, do my morning stretch in my bathrobe. I just woke up, and I walk out of my front porch, and I see that there are 10,000 people in front of my house. And they have mistakenly walked upon my house thinking that I may possibly be the Pope on vacation from the Vatican, but they ain't leaving until I give them some advice. So this is my Pope's advice. This is what I got to tell them to make them get off my lawn. So that's the premise. So this week, I was reminded of a couple situations ago where it happened. We, if you are an avid listener to the show, you know about my brother, recently saved, praise Jesus on that, recently got baptized. I was very happy to be a part of that situation. And what I had to do with that, I've been talking to my brother about a relationship with Christ for a long time. My dad was an executive pastor. He talked to my brother. We had many conversations with him, and luckily, I strayed myself, but I came back, and I was also saved by the grace of God. But Trey and I had many conversations, and I had laid the gospel on him. I mean, I'm talking like, let's go for a walk, and then 3 hours later, we're still walking, and we're talking about God. We had that many times. That wasn't just a one-time thing. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, man, you know, God's super working through me right now. And, you know, I'm planting seeds and everything like this. And, you know, it came to a point where we were having these conversations once a month. And I wasn't seeing any fruits whatsoever. Was not seeing any fruits at all. And it drove me nuts. Like, it made me really upset because at any point in time did I ever doubt the power of God. I knew 100% that God had complete control of it, and it was going to happen when God wanted it to happen. He was going to pluck Trey's heart when he wanted it to happen. And I knew that I was just there to be a tool to plant seeds, but I wasn't going to be the one to turn him. It was going to be, you know, the grace of God and God doing it in his own heart. But that did not stop me from getting discouraged. It really brought me down. And after a while, Trey and I had stopped having these conversations, and I just started praying, you know, and it took a lot on me to do this. And at first it felt weird, but, I broke down and started praying, God, you know, if you don't want me here, if I'm not the one that you want to be talking to Trey and having these conversations, and if I'm not the one who's going to be bringing him to you, get me out of here. Pull me. Completely remove me from the situation. If I'm not the tool that you're going to use, let me get out of your way. And put whoever you want in here in the ring. Get me out and put them in. And it wasn't to say, God, I'm done. I'm wiping the dust off my feet and I'm leaving this town. It was, I'm going to keep on doing this, but if there's somebody else that's going to do it, get them in here. And after I was praying that for a little while, a few months later, one of my brother's best friends from high school actually got in and was saved. And then out of nowhere started inviting Trey to church and then getting this involved in Trey. And like I said, now Trey's been saved since then. He actually just got baptized a little over a month ago, which was absolutely awesome. And it kind of felt like God was just like, okay, well, I want Trey, you know, let's get Nate. And let's get this taken care of. And I recently had another situation where the same thing happened. You know, I've been talking to a coworker of mine about God and about the relationship that I have with Christ and the relationship that I wanted her to have with Christ. And she, you know, a typical situation of, you know, at one point in time, I was big into the whole Christ relationship. And I went to church and I did all that stuff. And I loved it. I felt like I was on cloud nine with God. But I just kind of moved away from the church and felt kind of distant from them and then lost my faith with God. And has recently started kind of deciding, you know, maybe I need to get back into the whole God thing. And I jumped on that, absolutely jumped on it. And I'm like, okay, well, what do you want to talk about? You know, let's talk. You know, where are you at? What are you thinking? What are your thoughts? What caused you to stray? And you know, let's talk about those kind of things. And we had plenty of conversations where I felt like we were making really good headway. I was explaining a lot about God's love and, you know, how, you know, we're all sinners and everything like that. But guess what? God's got grace for every bit of that. And Jesus died on the cross. He was murdered and cursed by being hung on a tree, you know, knowing full well everything that she'd ever done and ever will do. And these conversations felt like they were going great. And then once again, it just got stagnant. And it wasn't that I was just kind of giving up on it and everything like that, but I had to pray the same thing. And I'm like, you know what, God, get my pompous self out of this. I am not the one who's going to bring this person to Christ. I'm not the one who's going to save this person. It is all on you. You will use me the way that you want me to, and I want that exactly to be done. I want your will to be done through me. If I'm the tool you want to use, keep me in here, keep me pushing, but if I'm not the tool you want to use for this person, get me the heck out of here and pull in the tool that you want to use. And it worked. Once again, it worked. And this coworker of mine actually has been more and more receptive to this. Ended up going to Women of Faith this weekend and really digging on that. Got a couple books to read. And I'm standing by to answer any questions that you might have, but apparently her mom kind of stepped in and out of nowhere started doing this. And I don't know exactly what you want to take from that as Pope-style advice, but I will tell you, don't be afraid to pray wholeheartedly. God, just do what you're doing. You know, don't think you're powerful enough to get in God's way. First off, that's not the situation. God's going to get you out of there no matter what. But if you need to, pull yourself away and really take a step back and realize, you know, are you the one that God's going to be using this? And if God's not going to use you, pray that he takes you out and puts in the one that he wants, because that's exactly what's going to need to happen. So I'd say that's my Pope-style advice. Now get off my lawn.
Yeah, that's enough for me to leave.
I'm out.
I feel like that's pretty solid.
Yeah.
It's hard, though, because like, a lot of people like to, and this is me too, like Lord, I want to be used as an instrument
right.
In this specific instance.
Right, that's the problem.
Yeah. I think we've heard all the stories of, you know, Joe Blow goes on the bus and talks to a stranger and they fall on their knees and accept Christ. And,
right.
You know, all these stories like this. And then you think, well, I want to do that too. You know,
exactly.
You know? And it's like, that's not really the typical. Who knows how many people have had conversations with that person on the bus, you know, over the years, who have been praying for them, his mom, his uncle, his aunt, his grandpa, mm-hmm. you know, all these things. And that dude happened to be the right person at the right time that God brought into their life. And they're like, they were ready.
Yep.
And so you never know what part of that process you're in.
Right.
You might just be that, like you said, that seed planter, that, yep. that waterer, that you're tilling the ground a little bit. And who knows when the right person at the right time says the right thing and the Spirit of God moves in just the right way and they get it. And that's an onion. It's every single part of that was equally important.
Yep.
It was all part of the process. Yeah, you got to know sometimes when to back off and when to. That doesn't mean you stop praying. So
right,
yeah,
absolutely. You back yourself up, and then you take it from the standpoint of, you know, now I need to pray for God to do what He wants to do with what I just did. I may have just planted a seed, but you know, God water it.
Yep.
God till that seed and till that land to get what you want out of it and pull this person's heartstrings. You're going to be the one who works for it. You know, you're the one who's actually going to pull them to you.
Yeah, I agree with that. Dan, you got some advice?
I do. Hey, I do have some life in the path. Dear life in the path.
Okay.
But let me throw a first one in. This is a real one from this morning from a group I'm on Facebook. So it's a legitimate. I mean, the other ones are legitimate too.
Sure.
But this is like a dude who is a believer in Christ. So we know that much about him. That's why I say
okay.
He is a Christ follower, and he's really wanting some advice. And a bunch of people started responding, and I've just been kind of going through my mind. He says that some of you may. And by the way, this guy is. Kind of an antagonist. He's in this group. He's always fighting, and I'm always thinking to myself, "Come on, you know, back off.
You really got to push that hard." You know?
Yeah. Okay. You have to punch him in the throat.
I'm with
and,
you.
You know,
I'm with you.
Kick him. He says, "As some of you may have noticed, I can be a pretty negative person." No, it's true. Anyway, my wife is begging me to get on medication for my anxiety. I was on it years ago, but didn't need it. Parentheses.
Right.
when the nest was empty. Then the nest was refilled 3 years ago. It gradually crept back. I know most people link anxiety and depression, although I still don't understand why. I do not feel depressed, but I do feel very negative and angry all the time. His question is medication the way to go? I ask you guys because you are my minister.
That's a difficult question to answer just because by answering this, I think we may, if we become to the same point, we may be going against the entire medical institution of the world right now. Medication is not the worst thing on the planet. Realize that it is not the worst thing that can possibly happen. But I will tell you, one of the greatest cures for anger and for that kind of stuff, Jesus. And I'm sorry, that is the plain and simple of it.
He's a Jesus man.
I understand.
Are you saying? Hold on a minute. Now that's unfair. Are you saying Jesus people can't have anxiety problems?
No, I'm not saying that at all.
Are you saying that by their works they can stop from being anxious?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that entirely. I think one of the fruits of the Spirit is peace. I think if you have this anger in your life, I'm sorry. I personally have gone through it. I've been the angry dude. I've been
love, joy, peace. Patience,
right, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So kind of we know wholeheartedly this is from the inspired word of God. God has said that this is going to happen. This is fruits of the Spirit. If you're dealing with a lot of anger, you need to step back and realize where you're at in your walk with Christ, and you need to break down to the basics of your relationship with Christ.
That sounds like the same reasoning of the healers. If you only believed more, this wouldn't happen to you. If you were only more obedient, then these things would then you wouldn't have this disease.
That's not it at all. Anger's not a disease, first off. If the guy had
anxiety is in question, not anger.
He commented on his anger.
Anxiety is the question.
Okay. That's also not a disease. If the guy said he had cancer, I wouldn't say go back to your Bible.
Do you find that it's impossible that, that the body can have a chemical imbalance that causes anxiety?
No, I don't find that impossible. And that's why I said medication is not a bad thing.
You just said it is relationship with Jesus, that if he was properly serving Jesus, he would have peace.
I started with...
That's how you ended it as well.
Right. I started with medication is not the worst thing, but realize if this anger and this kind of stuff is happening, he started by commenting on his anxiety, but he ended with his anger. That's the last thing he commented upon, and I will tell you, those kind of things can be dealt with through a relationship with Jesus Christ. And
here,
I know that personally.
Here's my advice to him. Basically, it's RLTGs. I said, find two people who you can tell anything to and you can trust with anything and meet with them once a week. And I told him to Google life transformation groups. You can get some good accountability questions on there. You got to be brutally honest with these people. You've got to give them permission to be brutally honest with you. I said, I want you to once a month, go back to your wife, because it's the wife who brought this up. Have the wife either have her talk to one of your accountability people or have her come to the group, whatever. You got to have a conversation once a month to see, is this working? Is it helping? Because you can convince yourself, oh, yeah, I'm doing great. If it's helping, then you've got the biblical foundation. You've got people. You're holding yourself accountable. You're consciously doing what you can to try to control things. But if it's not helping, then go toward the medication. First go to – so I'm kind of on both of you. I would first do the Jesus thing and see if there's not just something you're just being lazy
on. I haven't said anything yet. You can't be in agreement with me.
I know what road you're going down.
I've just half disagreed with Troy so far.
That's fine.
You're listening to Life from the Path on livefromthepath.org. The show is not over. This particular discussion is not over. But if you're on listen on 99.3 KTIA, we have got to split a rooski with you. We'd like to thank the Eisenlauer team in Westfield Veterinary Hospital for keeping tabs on the show. Dig on the podcast at livefromthepath.org along with past shows, past performances, and John Boober III's pretty face. Once again, we hope to see you next week. We love you. Take it easy.
Westfield Veterinary Hospital brings you What If Your Dog Was the Vet?
Hi, Dr. Fido. My puppy has a sore in his leg. What should he do?
I'd say lick it. Next question.
Hi, Dr. Fido. My cat may have fleas. What should she do?
I'd say lick it. Next question.
Hi, Dr. Fido. My dog licks himself obsessively. What should I do?
Tell him to stay the course.
Now you know what it would be like if your dog was the vet. What do you do when lick it just won't cut it? You visit Westfield Veterinary Hospital. Our team of highly trained veterinary medical professionals provide your pets with excellent quality care and always treat them with compassion and kindness. Your pet's care is always our number one concern. We'll be straightforward and honest with you at all times regarding your pet's condition and needs. We're located on 54th Avenue in Johnston, and you can learn more or set up an appointment online at westfieldvethospital.com or give us a call at 515-986-5738. That's Westfield Veterinary Hospital in Johnston at westfieldvethospital.com.
Hey man, how's the selling your house going?
Well, I put one of those for sale by owner signs out in the front yard, but I'm not getting a lot of hits.
You do realize that only your neighbors will see that, and they live there already.
Oh yeah, I guess I didn't really think about that. What did you do?
I used Bob Eisenlauer with the Eisenlauer team. Go to EisenlauerTeam.com or call Bob Eisenlauer directly at 515-979-2883. I use them for all my real estate stuff, and they're easy to work with and hard to beat.
Really?
Yeah, I talk like that. Go to EisenlauerTeam.com.